Amen. Thank you, Jennifer, for the beautiful prelude music. It was beautiful. The Day of Resurrection was that last song that she was playing. A lot of you maybe know the hymn of that. So, good morning. Christ is risen. Risen indeed. Yes, he is. Amen. Good to see all of you here on an exciting day, a beautiful Sunday morning. Welcome. First, I'll say thanks to those who shared Easter lilies in memory of loved ones. There's two that came yesterday afternoon, so they're not in the bulletin insert. They'll make those announcements. There was one given in memory of Dennis Brandt by his wife Pauline and family. There was one given in memory of Lee Palmerville by Pat and her family. So thank you all for sharing them. They are beautiful, and the fragrance fills the sanctuary. Another announcement, we will pass the offering plates today. Normally we don't. We have a box back there, but today we will. So just so you're aware of that, if you were looking for the box. I want to say special thanks to the Heidelberg League, our high school youth group, and league advisors and parents for the breakfast this morning. All the egg bakes, some of them told me, well, I need to word that right. I was told it was all very delicious and they want the recipes. So thanks for doing that. Parents, please remember to get your dishes after church for your egg bake, okay? Let me see. Next Sunday is Confirmation Sunday here. So that means church starts at 10 o'clock instead of 10:30. It is a little longer service. And if you read your insert of the bulletin, we have eighth graders who will be getting confirmed next week. So that's an exciting day. We will not have Sunday school classes next Sunday. The rest of the announcements, I will let you read as you have time. Let's bow our heads in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we worship and praise your name on this glorious day. We thank you for the words of the angels there at the tomb to the women that came so early in the morning. As they said, he is not here. He has risen. Why do you look for the living among the dead? And Jesus, you are our risen Lord. You are the resurrection and the life, as your word tells us. And we are so blessed to live in the shadow of the cross, on this side of the cross, to be filled with your Spirit, to live in the power of your resurrection each and every day. For you said in your word, if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, that you will, by your Spirit, quicken or give life to our physical bodies by your Spirit who lives within us. And we thank you for that life-giving power each and every day. Thank you for everyone that's here, all that have gathered in, the family members, the friends, as we are here to celebrate you, Jesus, our King. And it is in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. We'll stand together as we sing our opening hymn, number 367 in the hymnal. The words are also on the screen. Christ the Lord is risen today. Christ the Lord is risen today, alleluia. Sons of men and angels say, alleluia. Raise your joys and triumphs high, alleluia. Sing ye heavens and earth reply, alleluia. Lives again our glorious King, alleluia. When all does save, Hallelujah, where thy victory, O grave. Hallelujah, love's redeeming work is done. Hallelujah, fought the fight, the battle won. Him we must. Hallelujah. Ours the cross, the grave, the skies. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes, praise the Lord. You know, every year it brings me to tears, so. Take a moment, greet those around you, please, before you are seated. Thanks for coming, Vanessa. Thanks for coming up. Thanks for coming. Morning, Anthony. We'll have our sharing of joys and concerns here. I don't have too much written to down. If you look in the insert, we certainly rejoice with two new babies in the congregation or connected to our congregation, Cindy and Corey Heckenleibel's little one, Camden Joe, and Allie and Macon Oplinger. She had a little baby girl on, well, Tuesday it would have been, Raina. I guess that's right, Raina, Cindy, is that right? Raina Jordan, so congratulations to them. Otherwise, prayers for this young man from Viberg. He's going to be is he a sophomore or junior? He's a junior in high school, Kobe Sherman, and had a tough diagnosis. This, you see, the osteosarcoma. So we're praying for him and his family. Also, Caleb Pedersen. Another young man with some serious health stuff going on. Prayers for them. And Emily Melhoff's dad, Bruce. He's been in the hospital in Sioux Falls for a week for sure, not a little more. Prayers for him. Anything else? Caden.
It's my mom's birthday on Tuesday.
All right. Trisha Fisher's birthday is on Tuesday. Happy birthday, Trish. Okay. I'm hearing the age shouted out from up here, but I don't know that I'll repeat it. Nicole. Madison Schaefer's birthday is tomorrow. Happy birthday, Jeff Nuss. Okay, yeah, prayers for Stella Nuss, Jeff's mom. She fell last Sunday at the care center and it fractured her elbow. Yeah, so it seems they have been able to get the pain under control. Stella just turned 102 in March 22nd. So prayers for her. Anybody else over here? Over here. Yes. Lincoln. Today, Lincoln Saber's birthday is today. One of Arlen's grandsons that's here. And are you, what grade in school? You are a senior in Sioux Falls. So always good to have grandkids along. That's great. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Branson Sattler's birthday is this week. Happy birthday, Branson. Yes, Joanne. Ben, I'm trying to come with the last name. I'm sorry. Mooney, that's right. Sorry. Ben Mooney had a birthday, Joanne's and Jerry's grandson, on Friday. Okay, also on with Willingas here, Ryan Willinga, his grandfather passed away unexpectedly this last week, too, over in the Sioux Center, Iowa area. He was 91. They had the funeral yesterday, but still was walking 3 miles a day up until he passed. So he's in heaven now, his first Easter in heaven. Think of the rejoicing there. All right, let's bow our heads, please. Heavenly Father, thank you for several birthdays mentioned here, some today and in the coming days, the last few days. We ask your blessings upon all of these. And thank you, Lord, for such an exciting day when family gathers in from near and far and makes it all the more special. But Jesus, it is all about you. You are the reason we are here. We pray for these others that I mentioned, Colby Sherman, Caleb Peterson, especially Pedersen, two young men with some significant health things going on. Lord, many more names written in our bulletin, and we lift all of them to you. Emily Melhoff's dad, Bruce, in the hospital in Sioux Falls. We pray that they could get things figured out there with his heart and kidneys, and we just ask for your healing power through all of these individuals. We pray for Ryan Willinga and his family as they celebrated his life yesterday. Thank you, Father, for Jesus. Your word says that we don't have to sorrow as those who have no hope because we know where he is, and the others of our loved ones who have lived for you and believed in you, we know where they're at, and in that we do rejoice. Thank you for these two new babies to these families, the joy and excitement that that brings. And we pray for, we have two or three more in our church that are with child and due in the coming months. We just lift them all up to you as well. Father, on this resurrection day, we pray for our nation. As we're in the spring of our year, as you breathe new life into us, we pray for that you would breathe new life into our nation across this land. Life that comes from your throne, from you above, to transform and to change. And we thank you for that. We also think of our troops on this holiday weekend, Lord, especially those who are serving away from their families, whether it's on the other side of our nation or whether it's around the world. We lift them all to you and thank you for their faithful service and dedication. Thank you for Stella Nuss. We lift her up as well. Just thank you for healing in that elbow and comfort to her. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I'm going to read from Acts chapter 2, verse 23 and 24. This was actually on the day of Pentecost, so 50 days after the resurrection, but Peter was preaching that day. One of the things he said was, "This man, Jesus, was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God," don't you love it when you see those two words together? "But God," he has a different plan always. "But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him." Amen. Can we pass the plates while we're standing? I never thought of that, because we're going to sing the Lord's Prayer. So they'll be coming through the aisles. Let's stand, please, and we'll sing the Lord's Prayer. And you can pass the plates during this time. What? Oh, I'm sorry. We're singing a hymn. Thank you, Jennifer. We're singing a hymn. That's what happens when we change things up. "He Lives," number 368. Thank you. All right, Cindy. You can sit. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy. I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. In all the world around me, I see His loving care. And though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that He is leading through all the stormy blast. The day of His appearing will come at last. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, part. You ask me how I know He lives within my heart. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King, the hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives within my heart. Amen. Now we will stand and sing the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Heavenly Father, thank you for the sacrifice of your only begotten Son, that as your word says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Thank you for taking those steps, for taking the first step to reach out and save us when we could do nothing, nor can we, to save ourselves. It is only by faith alone, by grace alone, in Christ alone, through Scripture alone, and certainly, Lord, to you, Jesus Christ, and God our Father alone, be all of the glory. So we bring these gifts, these tithes, these offerings with great thanksgiving in our hearts. We ask you to bless them for the work of your kingdom, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And Heavenly Father, we confess our faith together before you through the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the one holy Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. If the children want to come, please, for the Kingdom Kids time.
Carry this one up for me and cover it though. I can't carry it. Put it next to me on the bench. Thank you. Well, good morning, boys and girls. Good morning. What is today? Easter Sunday. Come on, sit down. Come on.
That.
It might be. I'll show you. Come sit down. Come sit down. Yes, it is Easter morning, right? Look at those flowers that we have all around here. What are those called? Those right there. What are those called?
Lilies.
In fact, we... Do you? That's so neat. I bet a lot of you do, right? Those are called Easter lilies. And you know what it reminds me of? Look at the flowers, the top of them. They look kind of like trumpets, right? And don't you just think they're just blowing and they're saying, he is risen. Say that again. He is risen. Who is risen? Jesus is risen. That's right, and that's what we're celebrating today. But you know those flowers, they're not going to live forever, are they? Pretty soon, in a while, those flowers, they will die and they will fall off. And then you take the bulb out of there and you eventually, sometime you put it in the soil. It dies and you put it in the ground so that it can be watered and the sun will come on and it will grow again into more flowers, right? It's kind of like corn, right? We take this kernel, see these kernels of corn? Well, if I eat them, is that going to do any good for anybody else? No, just me, right? But if we do what with these, all you farmers? If we plant them into the ground, they die, and you plant them, and they go into the ground, and then what happens? Voila, a whole harvest of corn. You were right. A whole harvest of corn. And not does it just feed one person. It feeds everybody, right? And all the animals. Well, you know what? That reminds me of something, in fact, someone who had to die and be buried, and then he rose again. Who is that?
Jesus.
Who is that?
Jesus.
Yes, he died, and you know, in the International Children's Bible, in John chapter 12, verse 23, this is what it says. Jesus told his followers, those that were around with him, he said to them, the time has come For the Son of Man, he was talking about himself. Who was talking? Jesus. It's time for him to receive his glory. I tell you the truth, Jesus said, unless a grain of wheat, or like my corn, falls to the ground, dies, and then is buried, it will not make many seeds. But if it does, it will produce a crop that will feed everybody. But if it never dies, if this corn or the wheat never dies and goes into the ground, it will never produce a harvest, right? And that's what Jesus did for us. He gave up his life, right, on Good Friday. He died for all of our sins, for you, yours, and for mine, and for yours, and for all of our sins, for all of us. He died the one single life so that he would rise again, and that now we can be saved and we can go to heaven too. Isn't that exciting? He paid the price for all of us. Only one person could do it. Only Jesus is the only one that could do that. And he did it for us because he loved us. So this is such an exciting day because he rose. He is alive. Because he is alive, we're alive. And one day, where are we going to live with him? In heaven. And until then, he's with us every single day. So we can be so happy, all right? I want you to pray this prayer after me. Ready? Say, Dear God, thank you for giving us Jesus.
Thank you for giving us Jesus.
He gave his life to give us life. Help us to be willing to make sacrifices for you. And thank you that we have new life
in Jesus Christ.
Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Okay, now we do have something to give you, boys and girls, okay? But I want you to listen carefully because we want you to go into groups. So if you're in preschool, okay, if you're in preschool or below, stand up right now and go to Denise. She's going to give you a paper and a little booklet, okay? Preschool, you go over there. If you're preschool, you go right over there, okay? Thank you. Okay, now if you're, what do you have, Julie? If you're in kindergarten all the way up to second grade, you go to Julie. Okay, go to Julie, and she has something for you. Okay, all right? And if you're third grade and up, come to me, and I have something for you, okay? Okay, Julie's right there. She's right there. You're right over here. You're with Denise. Okay. Whoops, I'm losing my...
All right, thank you, Anne. We'll have the bell choir. They've been working hard on the song for today. They're going to play, if you know, 10,000 Reasons. That's what they're going to be playing on the bells today. Did you get one? Isn't that beautiful? Just amazing. They put a lot of hours into getting ready for this day, this crew of ladies. Some of them even playing three different bells. That's a lot to keep track of. If any one of those ladies tells you guys they're going to ring your bell, I guess you better look out. Thank you, ladies. It was beautiful. Let's bow our heads, please. Heavenly Father, we do have so many reasons to praise you. 10,000 reasons, and then forevermore. We thank you for all that you have done for us through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the living Word of God, for all the details of the cross, of the life of Christ, of the crucifixion, of the resurrection that we have, that we enjoy reading through Scripture and hearing about and talking about and listening to today. We rejoice in you, Lord God. So, Father, thank you for your word, speaking to our hearts, encouraging us, ministering to us as we minister to you. And I ask, Lord, as always, that you'd speak through me by your Spirit to those gathered here today. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll be in Luke's Gospel this morning, chapter 24. Of course, the resurrection is obviously in all four Gospels. It's in 1 Corinthians 15, little pieces of it throughout the New Testament. But Luke 24, beginning in verse 1. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Amen. A glorious day, and how blessed we are to live on this side of the cross. We can walk through the events of the Lenten season as we have the last 40 days. We can walk through the events of this past week that we call Holy Week. And we know the end of the story. But they, the disciples, the followers of Jesus, they did not know the end of the story, even though he tried to tell them. They did not know what was coming next. They were living it out moment by moment. That's what we do as we go through life, though. We live things out moment by moment, sometimes very difficult things. So I want to talk in that focus this morning. First of all, if you're filling in your outline, we'll get on that right away. There's one on the insert of your bulletin. These ladies, God bless them, they thought they were going to a funeral service, so to speak, on that morning, the first day of the week. As verse 1 said in Luke 24, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took spices they had prepared and they went to the tomb, which, by the way, why do we worship on Sunday? Because it is the first day of our week. All through the Old Testament, the worship, the Sabbath day was on Saturday. But because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ that took place on Sunday, the first day of the week, that's why we gather. That's why it is important. But these women, and what would we expect, really? At least they were going. They were the first ones there. But we think we can't blame them. They were taking spices to further anoint his body there where he was buried. They had seen where he was buried. A couple of them had on that Friday late afternoon when they took his body off the cross. But think what they had experienced just in those last few days. If we walk through like Thursday evening, the Garden of Gethsemane, at that point things were all going pretty well, except for one. They had realized that Judas Iscariot was going to be the betrayer. They had realized that he had been stealing money. He was the treasurer for the ministry, and he was embezzling from the bag, the money bag. The Bible tells us that. Then as we come to midnight on that Thursday night, all of a sudden here's this mob of soldiers and the chief priests and all, and they've come to the garden to arrest Jesus. And he doesn't even fight back. Remember, Peter tried to, takes out his sword, cuts off the right ear of one of the servants of the high priest. And amazingly enough, Jesus picks it up and sticks it right back on. But that wasn't enough to deter the soldiers and the chief priests to arrest him. And so they did. Then we go through that night, the trials on the Jewish side. We've worked through this. Those of you that are here with us on a regular basis through the Lenten season, we worked through those trials. Then we come to early morning Friday at sunup. Starts the Roman side of the trials, where they're going to convict him and put him to death, which is what the Jewish leaders wanted. By 9 o'clock on Friday morning, he is nailed on that cross and hangs there in our place for 6 hours. Last Thursday night we saw 3 of those hours was complete darkness, from noon to 3 in the afternoon. And then he gives up his spirit. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. We have the burial. This is all what they're experiencing moment by moment through those hours. Saturday is a day of waiting. They call it the Silent Saturday. I've seen more of that, it seems, this year, and things I've been reading more than in previous years that I recall. But there they were, waiting in fear, disbelief. They can't believe what happened. Despair, doubt. But these women, in Luke, earlier, the end of Luke 23, it tells us that on that Friday before Sabbath started, because Sabbath started at sunset on Friday, so the criminals and Jesus had to be off the cross before that happened. They got spices ready. The next day they waited. Let me read this, Luke 23, 55. The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph. That's Joseph of Arimathea. They saw the tomb and how his body was laid in it. Then they went home, prepared spices and perfumes, but they rested on the Sabbath, that was Saturday, in obedience to the commandment. Just a note there. See how careful they were to try and honor the Lord's day? Even though their Lord and Savior had been crucified, they knew they were not going to go to that tomb until the next morning, Sunday morning. If we look back in John's gospel, and I put this in the meditation of your bulletin, we know that Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, both members of the Sanhedrin, both Pharisees, they were maybe the only two of that whole 70, that's how many were on the Sanhedrin, who actually believed in Jesus, that he was who he said he was. John's gospel tells us they took myrrh and aloe, 75 pounds, to go as they went and asked Pilate for the body of Christ. Can we take his body off the cross? One of the gospels said that Joseph courageously went to Pilate to ask for the body. That was a big step of faith right there. 75 pounds of these spices. And they took him. This tomb was Joseph's. Joseph, we also know from the scripture, was a wealthy man. I was digging around this week too. Well, what would have been the value of the 75 pounds of those spices today? I found it in several places. $150,000 to $200,000. Think about that. In today's money. $150,000 to $200,000. 75 pounds. So as they're wrapping the body, and whether they're dipping this in the spices or whether they do a layer and then put a layer of the spices on, I'm not sure about that. But they wrapped his body together in that way. One commentary I found says this was four times the normal amount. These spices were used for royalty. Isn't that cool? Because he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And these two men, Pharisees, who had come to believe that Jesus was who he said he was, were declaring by doing this, Jesus, you are our King. And this is what we're doing to honor you in your burial. Going to a funeral, secondly. So let's think about their despair because they didn't know the end of the story again. And let's come to our lives as we walk through this life and the struggles we at times face. Sometimes we find ourselves in places of despair, hopelessness, sorrow, grief, fear. We do. Maybe there's somebody that we've looked up to in incredible ways, and they did something that just let us down. And we're just like, oh, I cannot believe it. And we've probably all done that to somebody else. Not intentionally even. Because we are not perfect. Not a one of us. But they were in despair. He was their hope. He was their Messiah. They thought he was going to overthrow Rome and set up his kingdom at that time. But had he failed them? No, he had not. Do people today feel at times like Jesus has failed them? Yes, I hear it fairly often, and I'm not faulting anybody. If maybe you have told me that, I'm not faulting you for saying that. Jesus knows our thoughts. But the end of the story, we have to know he never fails us. He is going to answer no matter what. We got to put ourselves in their shoes of not knowing what was coming. They were overwhelmed with despair. If we go on in Luke 24, verse 2, they found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, I have three other translations of that phrase in your outline. New King James says, they were greatly perplexed about this, the empty tomb. New Living, they were puzzled about this. Contemporary English version, they didn't know what to think. They're just like, what happened? They watched where he was buried. On the way to the tomb, Mark's gospel said, they even said, well, who's going to roll that stone away from the tomb? Luke doesn't bring that out, but Mark does. That thing had to weigh a couple thousand pounds. There is no record in Scripture of any of the ladies, nor any of the 11, saying to each other, hey, you know what? It's going to be all right. Don't be afraid. Let's trust God. Remember what he said? No, remember what he said? There's no record in Scripture of that among them in this Thursday night, Friday, Saturday, Sunday morning. No record of Scripture that any one of them said that. And again, I'm not blaming them. We get in situations that seem hopeless, and we can be the very same way. But what happened? What about this empty tomb? The angels proclaimed the resurrection. It says, going on in verse 4, while they were wondering about this, these women, suddenly, two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. Well, those were angels, of course. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, why do you look for the living among the dead. He is not here. He has risen. The greatest news of the ages, right there. He is not here. He has risen. The Apostle Paul proclaimed it in 1 Corinthians 15, and he gives us detail of all who saw the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. And when the Apostle Paul is writing that, it's 25 years after the resurrection. But he lists them out, saying, he appeared to Peter, then the 12, then more than 500 believers at the same time, most of those who are still living, at least when Paul wrote that. And he appeared to me also, Paul says. So the witnesses of the resurrection are many. But interesting, just a side note here, as he was wrapped in strips of linen at his death, I have to go back to his birth. What did the angels, they announced his birth too. They also announced his resurrection. Luke chapter 2, verse 11, when they appeared to the shepherds, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the... Oh, he is Christ the...
Lord.
Oh, thank you. Got to wake you up here. Okay, he's Christ the Lord. This is going to be a sign to you. You will find a baby, what? Wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Yes, at his birth, at his death, both times. And the angels announced both. But these ladies, they bow down to the ground, humbling themselves. What is that saying to us? That's what we have to do. Before Jesus, we have to surrender our lives to him. Say, Jesus, if we're truly going to come to him and believe, Jesus, I'm going to humble myself before you. I'm going to repent of my sin. And we could all say, and I've sure made a mess of my life at times, Lord. And I ask you to forgive me. And I do believe in you, Jesus, that you are the resurrected Lord. And Jesus, I ask you to come into my life today. Today. Maybe it's on this resurrection day for the first time. Maybe not. But at the tomb, they bowed before those angels, not in worshiping the angels, but in what God had done. The verse there takes me to when we were in Israel. It was in 2014, and we got to go to the tomb. It's called Gordon's Tomb, where there is a garden, and the entrance is not small. And you certainly, well, my height at least, but I think any height, you have to bow down to go into that tomb, and then you can stand up. And so we bow before him with our lives today. We face times of despair. But the third point, the angel said, remember. Remember how he told you. Verse 6, remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men. He must be crucified and on the third day be raised again. Then they remembered his words. The angels are quoting God's word to these ladies at the tomb. At least they were at the tomb. Where were the guys? Sorry to say, guys, they were still back in Jerusalem hiding behind locked doors at this point. Got to give the women credit. Good job, ladies. Jesus had told them. So the angels, okay, he said to them, remember how he told you, and he quotes Jesus. So I looked back quickly through the Gospel of Luke. I found three times pretty easily where Jesus said that. I'm not saying it's all, but it was at least three times. One was back in chapter 9, and this was right after the feeding of the 5,000, that incredible miracle. 5,000 men plus women and children. Listen to verse 9 of Luke 9:22. Jesus said, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, teachers of the law, and he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. He had pulled the disciples separately apart. What would you think If you had been there and see this incredible miracle, the feeding of the 5,000 plus women, children, so let's say 20,000, with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Yeah, right, Jesus. They might not have said that, but in their minds they might be thinking, what's he talking about? Are you kidding me? Some of us, many of us, probably if you think of loved ones that have passed very unexpectedly, and if you were able to be around them a lot, I've heard many times stories of after that loved one passed, all of a sudden it's like, yeah, remember when he said that a week ago? Remember when she said that just 3 days ago? I think she sort of knew that was coming, right? But as us, we're just like, oh, Mom, you know, now let's not talk about that. Oh, Dad, come, no, let's not talk about that today. I just think that was probably their attitude. They'd witnessed that incredible miracle. The next time, Luke 9, verse 44, this was right after Jesus had healed the boy of an evil spirit, cast that thing out of him. Another incredible miracle. And Jesus says, he says to them, listen carefully to what I am about to say. It should be, oh, what? What did he say? The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of sinful men. He doesn't go into all the detail there. This could be a year at least before the cross, those two. The last one, Luke 18, is just days before Palm Sunday. And he says to them, the 12, he takes them aside and says, look, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that's written about the Son of Man in the prophets is going to be fulfilled. He'll be handed over to the Gentiles. Look how specific he is. They're going to mock him. They will insult him. They will spit on him. They will whip him and kill him. And on the third day, he will rise. But they, again, that just, and then comes Palm Sunday, and they're like, how can that be? Look at the multitudes worshiping you, Jesus. How can it be? But the angels then on this resurrection day, it's all coming to light. Right? In their hearts. They remembered his word. So what does that tell us? As we live our lives through the struggles, through the joys, certainly. But we're seeing the resurrection, we're seeing the cross again all after it happened. It's easy for us to say, I know, yeah, but look at what happened. We know the resurrection. But yet when we're facing these struggles of life, and I'm sure there's many of you sitting here today that got tough situations in front of you, and you're like, I don't know how this is ever going to work out. There seems no way in my mind that I can figure this out. And maybe that's exactly where God wants you to be. So you will surrender and say, God, I cannot do it. I surrender. We have to surrender to him. And we have to continually be reminded of his word and his promises, because that's what gets us through those tough, hard places, by faith. And so we encourage each other with God's word. When they come back from the tomb, they go back to Jerusalem, tell the 11, and there's others gathered there too. We know the story. They didn't believe him. The words seemed like nonsense. And these are the disciples who lived and walked with him for 3.5 years, probably every single day, in the flesh and blood. So don't be so hard on yourself. We all struggle with doubt at times. We all got to be reminded. We all need a boost. And that's why we gather. One of the reasons. To worship him. I want to read just a little part in closing. This was a devotional by Max Lucado. A lot of you know of him. It was texted to me yesterday, and I thought it was so good. It's called Silent Saturdays. And it's talking about the day between Good Friday, Saturday, which Scripture is basically silent. That was the Sabbath. And then Sunday. Silent Saturdays is the day between the struggle and the solution. The day between the question that you're asking God and the answer, between the offered prayer and the answered prayer. Saturday's silence can sometimes torment us, and it can last longer than a day. Is God angry? Did I disappoint him? God knows Jesus was in the tomb. Why doesn't he do something? Or in your case, maybe it's something with a career. Maybe it's something with finances. Maybe it's something with sickness. It could be anything. Why doesn't he act? What are you supposed to do until he does? Do what Jesus did. Be still. Stay silent. Praise him. Trust in God. You need to know God will not leave you alone with your struggles. His silence is not his absence. I love that phrase. His silence is not his absence. Inactivity is not apathy. For his reasons, God inserts a Saturday between our Fridays and our Sundays. Isn't that good? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, yes. Help us to be patient in those in-between times. Help us to always keep our eyes on you, our resurrected Lord and Savior and King, Jesus. We don't always know the end of the story in our lives. Most of the time we don't. But we know, as we sing that song, because he lives, because you live, we can face tomorrow. Because you live, all fear is gone. And we can shout and we can sing, up from the grave you arose, as we will do very shortly. Thank you for blessing everyone here today, Father, through this day, as we just rejoice in your goodness. And if there are those today that are struggling in whatever way it might be, I pray that you would lift that burden from them before they leave this place of your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Number 357, Christ arose. Let's stand together as we sing this one. 357. Lo, in the grave he lay, Jesus, my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Vainly they seek Jesus, my Savior. Vainly they seal the dead, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Death cannot keep his prey, Jesus my Savior. He tore the bars away, Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Amen. Yes, he lives forever with his saints, that's you. With his saints to reign, he rules and reigns through you. Please receive the benediction. And now may the Lord go with you. May he go ahead of you to guide you, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, and within you to give you his peace. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Have a glorious day. Thank you, Cindy and Jennifer, for all the beautiful music and your hard work on this.